Dear friends, once more, Jesus makes one of those statements that you think it's absolutely impossible. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Is it true? I think it is, dear friends. I think there is a transformation in anyone who comes to Jesus. There is a transformation in anyone who believes in Jesus, truly comes to Jesus and truly believes in Jesus, as we, all of us, do. But the fact is, we have to acknowledge it because it is there. When the disciples who were following Jesus, were following him for 3 years, when they locked themselves up in the upper room, they thought they did not have it in them to carry out the work that he had given them. Go, make disciples of all nations. They looked at themselves and they didn't believe. It could be you, it could be me. We could be looking at ourselves and thinking, how can I never be hungry anymore? How can I never be thirsty anymore? But we can borrow a leaf from Paul in the second reading. He asks us to believe. He asks us to simply accept that we have been reborn and recreated and remolded in the image and likeness of Christ, whom we receive time and time again in the most holy Eucharist. What does it mean to receive communion? What does it mean to receive the Eucharist? Communion, unity, oneness. And that is, as often as we receive the body and blood of Christ, we become one with our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we clothe ourselves with our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist, he says, I am the bread of life. I am going to give you this bread, which is my flesh and my blood, for the life of the world. How can we reflect that? First of all, by believing, like I said, that we have been transformed. But when we are transformed, we have to really put it into practice. When you go to the hospital, you don't want the doctor acting like the electrician, because something will go wrong. He or she has clothed themselves in the white garment of the doctor. You don't want them tampering with the electricity, because it could short fuse something and the hospital might burn down. You also don't want the electrician coming into the operating theater and asking for a scalpel. I'll wake up and take to my heels right away, because he or she has clothed themselves in the electrician's garment and will perform the works of an electrician. You see them there, you respect them in their profession, in their field. They are there. The doctor is there. The nurses are there. The accountants are there. Everyone in their own department. So also, dear friends, when we clothe ourselves with Christ, especially as we receive communion, we are expected to be Christ-like. That is what Paul is telling us in the second reading. And there are so many attributes and virtues that we can pick up from our Lord Jesus Christ. But let us think about the ones that reflect what we have read today. First of all, Jesus was humble and trustful of the Most Holy Trinity and the Father, the Holy Spirit himself, and everything that he has come to accomplish. He never for once lost hope or lost sight of the goal, even amidst so many disappointments. But in the first reading, I see myself like the Israelites, who, even after seeing all of the miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, the this, the that, what did they do? At the first sign of trouble, they began to accuse God of wickedness. It could be you, it could be me. But we do not pick it up from our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was rejected, when he was targeted, when they almost stoned him, when they crucified him, he still trusted. And it stems from his humility, which Paul tells us about in his beautiful hymn, the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, from verse 6 downwards. Paul says, even though Jesus was God, is God, and will forever be God, he left his glory to become like you and myself. And even when he became like us, he further subjected himself to humility to climb the wood of the cross. And Paul tells us that is why he is elevated above every created being, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Dear friends, we can also be as humble as our Lord Jesus Christ in the face of problems. We can be as trustful as our Lord Jesus Christ in the face of disappointment. James tells us, James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. We discover our strength in humility. We discover ourselves, our strength, when we trust completely in God. And that is why when we do that, we are marvels to the people around us. They come to ask us, how are you holding on? How are you clinging on? And we point to the communion, to the reception of our Lord Jesus Christ, from which we draw strength. And we also draw wisdom from our Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom not to cling onto passing things. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I was watching some documentary about sports stars and how much money they made and how many trophies they won and this and that and Hall of Fame and this and that. None of them alive. And I wondered to myself, what would they present to God? While they were on earth, there was so much fame. People wanted their autographs. Nobody wants to see my signature. But people were following them all over the place. Sign this, sign that. Is that what they're going to present to God? Absolutely not. They showed shelves full of trophies. One in this, one in that. Gold medal, this, silver medal, bronze medal, and everything. Is that what they're going to present to God? Absolutely not. They are left right here on earth. They have gone beyond. What do we have to present to God? Jesus is asking us in the gospel today to look for things that are eternal. And it's summarized in one thing, love of neighbor, which is translated to so many actions. That is the only thing we'll go with when we get to God. That is the only thing that Jesus expects us to do with the little ephemeral things we have here on earth, with the money we have here on earth, with the cars we have here on earth, with the houses we have here on earth, with the intelligence we have here on earth, with everything that God has blessed us to translate and fold them up into that wonderful virtue of love. But it takes wisdom, which we receive also from listening to our Lord Jesus Christ and being transformed through the Eucharist. And lastly, Jesus was very patient. In the gospel, it was enough. I mean, if I were Jesus, I would have gotten into the boat and gone away from those people, because they weren't coming to me. They weren't coming to Jesus because of the word of life that he was giving them. They were coming for bread. Give us that bread once more. So it was almost as if Jesus wasted his time giving them the beautiful Sermon on the Mount, giving them all those beautiful words from God, giving them all the exhortations. Yet, it came down to what? Bread. Why don't you go and buy bread yourself? Why bother me to give you more bread? But still, he taught them. Still, he was patient with them. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. When, after 3 years of teaching, working miracles, and trying to get the disciples to understand who he was, they still asked that amazing question. Amazing in the negative. When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Like, after climbing the wood of the cross, you ask me that question, I'll get physical with you. I'll make sure you know about it. Because I didn't do that, if I were Jesus, not me. I didn't do that just so to restore the kingdom. After teaching them for 3 years, Jesus was still very patient with them. Jesus was still very loving to them. We can do that to our brothers and sisters who have not come to the knowledge of that we have. We can do that for our brothers and sisters who may be misstepping in life. We can be as patient as the Jesus we receive in the Eucharist, because this Eucharist is meant to transform us to the image and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be patient to those who still do not understand life, faith, and God. And that is why I will also exhort us to invite them to that beautiful program, Alpha, which we are going to start in September. Let them come and start talking. Let them come and unburden. Let them come and say what they understand about life and faith and God. Let it be in an environment where nobody judges them. Let it be in an environment where they are free to talk, where there is no good or bad. Rather, what is inside is allowed to come out. And then God will do the rest. Let us invite them in a special way. And also the RCIA, for those who want to take the next step to become, to be fully in communion with the Catholic Church. We shall start the RCIA also in September, because our prayer is the prayer that Jesus said, that they may all be one. And we can always all be one when we have the same understanding of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we receive in the most holy Eucharist. May the peace of the Lord be with you.